Good afternoon. I'd like to call the House State Affairs Committee to order. Today's Tuesday, March 19th, 2024. Let the record reflect that the time is 3:02. Today we have President Vice Chair Wright, Representative Allard, Representative Carrick, and myself, Chair Shaw, and joining us is Rep. Carpenter. And Rep. Story just walked in. Thank you. I'd like to remind committee members that those in the audience to silence or turn off your cell phones. Staff assisting today are our regulars, Annie Goodenough with House Records and Talia Ames with the LIO. And Reese Williams, my committee aide, will be taking notes. The committee today has two presentations, House Bill 306, which is AI deepfakes, cybersecurity, and data experts, sponsored by House State Affairs Committee and presented by the House Majority Staff, Josh Appleby. Then the committee will be introducing House Bill 225, posting an unofficial election results, sponsored by Representative Gray. It's my intention to hear both bills, place a call for amendments, place these bills aside for future meeting and possible committee action. Welcome, Representative Johnson. House Bill 306, AI, deepfake, cybersecurity, and data experts, sponsored by the House State Affairs Committee. This is the bill's first hearing, and I'd like to invite Josh Appleby forward to from the House Majority to come forward and put your name on the record and begin your presentation. We also have Sean Mills, the House Majority Counsel, with us as well. Please.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the House State Affairs Committee. For the record, my name is Josh Appleby. I'm staff to the House Majority, and with me is Sean Mills, House Majority Counsel. Thank you for the opportunity today to present House Bill 306, an act relating to artificial intelligence requiring disclosures of deepfakes and campaign communications relating to cybersecurity and relating to data privacy. With this bill, we're looking to begin the discussion on artificial intelligence, or AI policy, its use by state agencies, and its increasing role in political campaigns. This issue is heating up in legislatures across the country and in Washington, D.C. Among the articles in the bill packet is a story about how AI lobbying has increased 185% between 2022 and 2023, with over 450 organizations participating. Here in Alaska, we need to begin to have these conversations, and we believe that House Bill 306 is a pretty good start. While one state cannot write the rules of how AI is regulated nationally, we can focus on how the state government is using AI and look to safeguard against bad actors while hopefully getting some of the benefits that this technology has to offer. With the increasing availability of AI to streamline work processes, increased transparency and guidelines for its use by state agencies is needed to ensure appropriate deployment and to protect Alaskans from potential harm. House Bill 306 would require human oversight of AI. It would create a publicly posted inventory of AI that's in use by state agencies, and it would mandate regular impact assessments that would include a review and public report of benefits, liabilities, risks, and AI's effect on the privacy industry interests of individuals. The provisions in House Bill 306 would allow the public to know when AI is employed by state agencies regarding the collection and processing of personal data and the generation of decisions. The bill provides important and necessary safeguards, but it also includes methods of recourse if the use of AI causes harm to an individual. In addition to the requirements to catalog and report the uses of AI by state agencies, House Bill 306 requires disclosure on political deepfakes to inform Alaskans when campaign information is altered by using AI technology. Regulation of synthetic media or political deepfakes disseminated to the public, including those for election and campaign use, is a timely topic that needs to be addressed. As recently as February 8th of this year, the Federal Communications Commission made AI-generated voices and robocalls illegal. We've included that press release in your bill packet. This ruling would give our Attorney General new tools to go after the bad actors behind this type of fraud. With accessible AI tools, it's never been easier to develop deepfakes, and the likelihood of their creation and use during the upcoming election cycle is inevitable. In mid-February, all the major technology companies signed a pact to voluntarily adopt reasonable precautions to prevent AI tools from being used to disrupt democratic elections around the world. Companies like Adobe, Amazon, Google, IBM, Microsoft, among many others, see the potential danger of deepfake technology in elections, and have agreed in principle to methods that they will use to try to detect and label deceptive AI content when it is created or distributed in their platforms. That article is in your packet as well. On March 5th, up in Anchorage, the Alaska Small Business Development Center held a one-day conference on AI, where they had a panel discussing AI in campaigns and elections. In this article, it states that AI wielded by political operatives could improve the campaign process or could dramatically distort the elections. And just 2 weeks ago, U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski introduced the AI Transparency in Elections Act to require disclaimers on political ads with images, audio, or video that are substantially generated by AI. In this same manner, House Bill 306 would require a clear disclosure on a political deepfake that the communication has been manipulated by AI. And now, with your permission, Mr. Chairman, I'll pass the rest of the introduction over to Mr. Mills.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, esteemed members of the committee. My name is Sean Mills, for the record. I'm also House Majority Staff, same team as Josh Appleby. Rather than providing a sectional analysis, I think at the outset, it's important to consider the state of AI regulation as it exists in other states at this time. Not only to portray the importance of this issue, but to illustrate to this committee how House Bill 306 kind of falls into the map of legislature that's pending or enacted out there in the rest of this country. If we look at the information that we have from the National Conference of State Legislatures, we have during 2023's legislative session, 25 states, as well as Puerto Rico and the District of Columbia, introduced bills associated with artificial intelligence broadly. 18 of those state governments adopted resolutions or they enacted legislation. Some examples, notable examples include Connecticut, which now requires an inventory of all AI systems that the state agencies are using. Louisiana adopted a resolution requesting a committee to study the impact of AI on state operations. Texas established an AI advisory council. North Dakota, Puerto Rico, and West Virginia did likewise, also enacting an AI advisory council. California has an interagency comprehensive inventory in the works. And Michigan has enacted legislation that requires political advertisements to include a clear and conspicuous message if those messages that are conveyed are the product of artificial intelligence. The Council of State Governments also identifies for us a number of categories for emerging legislation and its focus areas. They've identified these focus areas as legislation that targets accountability, that which fights discrimination, that which provides transparency for state operations, that which provides data privacy, that which targets unsafe and ineffective AI systems, and those laws that also provide for interagency collaboration. Our bill reaches into all of these categories with just two prongs, one targeting the use of deepfakes or artificially messages that use artificial intelligence to change the nature of the content, and the other prong that provides for accountability and transparency with the types of systems that state agencies are using. So despite all the risks and benefits of AI, we're just hoping that House Bill 306 is providing a launch pad for a discussion here. It's rapidly changing issue, but this is something that I think the legislation is going to have to be enacted on sooner rather than later. Thank you.
Thank you for the very valuable overview. Can you tell us what EXFRS is all about? Is sure. It data EXFRS?
Chair Shaw, Sean Mills, for the record, House Majority Staff. Transfers is what that's referring to. I believe that's shorthand for that. So you're talking about data transfers, probably between different government entities.
Thank you. Do you have any questions from committee members?
I can go.
Representative Garrick.
Thank you. Through the chair, I had a couple of questions. First is, does this legislation only cover agency-generated deepfakes, or I apologize if I'm just missing it. Does it cover system-generated deepfakes from private entities, other systems that are not state agencies?
Through the chair, Representative Carrick, there's two prongs to the bill, one that handles those generated in the state and those that are generated outside for campaign purposes.
Okay, and follow up. Thank you, through the chair. And then on page 2 and section 2, it says that we will have, the department will conduct an inventory of all systems by state agencies that employ artificial intelligence for consequential decisions. And it has some requirements around what that looks like. Do we have any sense of what the cost is for doing an inventory of all systems used by state agencies every 2 years?
Through the chair, yes, we've seen the fiscal note that's been drafted for this bill, and it looks like an initial cost of just over $5 million with a recurring cost of just over $2 million per year.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Story?
Thank you, Chair Shaw. And thank you for bringing this forward today. I think it's very important and timely. I was wondering, almost on the same line on page 2 that Rep. Carrick was talking about, for consequential decisions, is there a definition, or what are you meaning with consequential decisions?
Mr. Chairman, on page 5, line 21, consequential decision means a conclusion, decision, or judgment by a state agency that can have a legal or significant effect on an individual.
Follow up. Yes, so can you give me, and I obviously with the fiscal note, that's quite a bit agencies involved. Can you just give me some idea, a list of a state agency who you are envisioning with this?
Through the chair, Representative Story, I don't quite understand it. This would cover any agency that utilizes this technology, and it would require the Department of Administration to catalog those uses. And in the fiscal note, they've assigned 15 programmer type positions that would cover each agency, probably one per agency or so.
Okay, so I'm just reading this a little deeper. So you're saying that can have legal or significant effect on an individual, and so basically all our agencies can have that effect.
Through the chair, Representative Story, yes. If the agency decides to use artificial intelligence technology to make their decisions, I think we should know that they're using it and how it's affecting those individuals.
Mm-hmm. Another question for Mike. I was hoping to get a feel today of how right now we are keeping track of our cybersecurity and how we are using artificial intelligence.
Through the chair, Representative Story, I don't have an inventory because it's never been required. That might be a better question for Bill Smith and the Department of Administration. But I'll be happy to reach out to him and see if he has some sort of summary that we can provide to the committee.
Thank you.
Representative Carrick.
I actually do have a question for Bill Smith, if he's available.
We don't have him online.
Oh, okay. If it's possible, if I can ask the presenters, Mr. Chair. Do we have a sense of how common or frequent state agency-generated deepfakes are? Are they a current issue that's prevalent in Alaska state government agencies? Are they prevalent elsewhere? The articles listed talk a lot about elections, and I could definitely see the application outside of the state agencies, but how is this technology currently being used in state agencies?
Through the chair, Representative Carrick, first I'd like to make sure there's a distinction between the use of AI technology in a state agency and the creation of deepfakes or synthetic media. Those are two separate. I wouldn't expect that the state agency would be in the business of creating fake videos or audio. They might be using the technology to make their systems more efficient. And so that's two separate things. So I don't see a state agency creating a deep fake. So most the bill, when it refers to the elections and the creation of deep fakes and the use of synthetic media, is specific towards the elections environment.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Any additional questions from committee members? Seeing none, we're going to set this bill aside for future consideration. Thank you, Mr. Appleby and Mr. Mills.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, committee.
Thank you, committee.
We're going to move on to House Bill 225, Posting Unofficial Election Results, sponsored by Representative Gray. Representative Gray, if you'd come forward with you and your staff, and please put your names on the record and make your presentation, if you would, please. Brief at ease. Back on the record, House Bill 225 and Representative Gray. Go ahead and introduce yourself with your staff and make your presentation.
Thank you, Chair Shaw. My name is Andrew Gray. I'm representative for House District 20, UMed in Anchorage. Thank you so much for hearing this bill today, and thanks to the members of the committee. In 2020, Alaska voters approved Ballot Measure 2, which implemented ranked choice voting for general elections. But the 2022 election, when we first used the new system, voters didn't get the final results until 15 days after the election. This caused some confusion, not only in Alaska, but across the country, as our statewide races were not called until long after all of the others. I know many of us heard from friends and family in the lower 48 asking us why Alaska takes so long to count its votes. It was frustrating, it was embarrassing, and ultimately, it fueled conspiracy theories. As with any electoral system, transparency and timeliness must be prioritized. House Bill 225 addresses this concern by requiring the Division of Elections to release the ranking data necessary to conduct RCV tabulations for all scanned ballots the day after the general election, and whenever it releases unofficial election results before the final tabulation 2 weeks after Election Day. Knowing the vote totals along with ranking data will allow voters and candidates to have a more up-to-date picture of the standings before the final tabulation. I know that there are folks listening who may hate ranked choice voting. They may actively be working to have it repealed. I want to say to those people that if ranked choice voting is repealed, my bill will be moot. However, in the event that ranked choice voting stays in place, which it will be for this upcoming election in November, wouldn't it be better for all involved if we had the ballot data the day after the election and not 15 days after, like we did in 2022? My office worked on this bill with the Division of Elections. We sought their input to make sure that the bill did not ask them to do anything that they couldn't do. What this bill is asking for is possible, and it does not incur a fiscal note. House Bill 225 is a simple bill that will increase transparency around our electoral process. My staff, David Song, will now walk us through the sectional. Okay, so we'll go straight. We have a short slideshow, and then we have invited testimony from former Lieutenant Governor Lauren Lehman and Will Adler from the Bipartisan Policy Center.
Thank you, Rep. Gray. We also have Tom Flynn online. These are for answers to questions to make them up. Tom Flynn with the Attorney General's Office, Brian Jackson, Election Manager with the Division of Elections, Carol Beecher with the Division of Elections, William Adler, Director of Elections, the Bipartisan Policy Center, and Lauren Lehman is going to be online to give us testimony. Please go forward.
For the record, David Song, Staff to Representative Gray. We're going to be going through going through House Bill 225, posting unofficial election results, and discussing the issues it's trying to address. So as many of you are aware, Ballot Measure 2 was passed in 2020, which overhauled Alaska's election systems in several ways. One of the biggest changes to Alaska's election, of course, was the implementation of ranked choice voting, or RCV. And as you're aware, RCV allows voters to rank multiple candidates in orders of preference. So as many of us realized in 2022, final results for ranked choice voting required more time in Alaska than we were used to under single choice voting. And so we'll move on to the next slide. And speaking of the 2022 election, the divisional election waited 15 days to release the full tabulation of results for the 2022 general election. And it's included in your bill packet, but this is just a screenshot of the division website. You can see that the election was on the 8th, but the division chose to wait until the 23rd to actually release the full tabulation. So this policy of not releasing the ranking data in a timely manner caused confusion for the public. For example, in the 2022 U.S. Senate election, initial results on the 9th showed Kelly Shivaka as being in the lead, and subsequent results showed a virtual tie. However, the results on the 23rd showed Lisa Murkowski as the winner of the election with a comfortable margin. And we've also included in your bill packets a sheet of state races that went to ranked choice tabulation as well. However, this is an entirely a policy decision on our part. Election results do not have to be slow. Digital scanning of ballots allows for instant release of results. And as we've seen in the materials from the bill packet, the National Ranked Choice Voting Resource Center recommends several best practices for RCV elections. These include a round-by-round tally on election night, publishing the entire ballot record so anyone can verify the results, clear communication of timelines, expectations, and results. And so this brings us to House Bill 225. What does House Bill 225 do? It incorporates some of the suggestions from the last slide for Alaska's elections. This bill requires will require the Division of Elections to release all of the ballot data, including rankings, the day after the election, not just the first choice votes. This means no more 15-day delay for result tabulation and for the ongoing release of unofficial results that will also include all ballot data, including rankings. House Bill 225 will allow elections observers and the public to conduct their own tabulations to see how second, third, et cetera, choice votes will be allocated. So this means that candidates will not feel blindsided when the final results are released, like in 2022. What does House Bill 225 not do? House Bill 225 does not include the hand count precincts, such as in our small rural communities that do not have scanning machines. HB 225 will not affect municipal election procedures, just the state elections. So if a municipality or a borough has adopted hand count elections, those local elections will not be affected. HB 225 does not require the division to do a round-by-round tabulation on election night or for the subsequent release of unofficial results. This would require additional staff capacity for the Division of Elections. This bill just releases the ballot data so that observers, the media, candidates, etc., can do their own tabulations. So just to wrap up, like Representative Grace said, if RCV is overturned, this is no longer applicable. House Bill 225 just ensures that in the case that Alaska does keep ranked choice voting, the process will be more transparent and efficient. This bill would make us like the rest of the country in that we will know who is really in the lead in our elections the day after Election Day. And thanks for your consideration, and we urge your support for HB 225.
Thank you. We're going to bring our testifiers online, and then we'll ask questions of everybody afterwards. So William Adler, Director of Elections with the Bipartisan Policy Center. Are you online?
I am here, yeah.
Yes, would you like to make put yourself on the record, make a presentation, please?
Absolutely, thank you. Good evening, Chairman Shaw, Vice Chairman Wright, and distinguished members of the committee. Thank you for inviting me to testify about transparency in elections. I commend the committee for attempting to make Alaska's elections more efficient and transparent. My name is William Adler. I am the Associate Director of the Elections Project at the Bipartisan Policy Center, which is a nonprofit organization that combines the best ideas from both parties. BPC's Elections Project researches and advocates for pragmatic solutions to improve American elections. Many of them of our recommendations are unanimously endorsed by our Task Force on Elections, a bipartisan group of state and local election administrators across the country with extensive on-the-ground experience. We do not take a formal position on ranked choice voting or any other voting method. However, any voting method has associated best practices. We hope to provide insight as to which practices can best serve Alaskan voters without creating confusion or posing an undue burden to election officials. We applaud the bill's goal to ensure that voters know who is leading in a ranked election as unofficial results are reported. This is a manageable task for Alaska's election workers and observers and would provide a meaningful boost in public transparency of ranked choice elections. Under current regulations implemented in the 2022 Alaska elections, as the sponsor mentioned, first preference votes are tallied and reported on election day and updated intermittently until the 15th day after the election, the deadline for receipt of absentee ballots. At this point, the Elections Division releases the tabulated ranked choice results. Under this model, it can take more than 2 weeks for voters to get a clear picture of which candidate is leading. In a ranked choice election, first preference vote tallies alone are suggestive of who is leading the race, but do not paint the full picture. Expediting more comprehensive results aligns with the best practice of getting voters meaningful information quickly. From our understanding, policymakers and administrators adopted this process with the reasonable aim of avoiding confusion about final results. It's true that if ranked ballots are retabulated as they come in, the apparent winners may shift. However, this is true for all unofficial results, even in jurisdictions that don't use ranked choice voting. The potential for changes in the leading candidate is no reason to withhold from the public more comprehensive data on the unofficial results. After several close elections in 2022, voters and observers were left guessing how the eventual tabulation would play out in federal races, but it, of course, does not have to be this way. FairVote and the Ranked Choice Voting Resource Center consider it best practice to release preliminary round-by-round tallies on election night, updating the results as more votes are counted. This bill requires the division, when they update unofficial results, to make public the data necessary for anyone to tabulate the ranked choice results. This would allow observers and trusted third parties, many of whom we already depend on to call races after Election Day, to report and analyze electoral standing beyond just the first preference votes. It may still take time for elections to be called by the media, since the bill doesn't address ballot deadlines, and some ballots still need to travel long distances to be counted. Still, under these revisions, voters will get an earlier, more meaningful picture of election results. The bill also mitigates some administrative concerns associated with delayed unofficial tabulation. Alaska has a history of competitive elections, including three close statewide races in 2022. Delayed tabulation can hamper elected officials' ability to adequately prepare for transition. If one of Alaska's federal representatives faces multiple competitive challengers who split the vote, for instance, they may appear to have a substantial lead over their opponents in first-ranked votes, even if they ultimately lose once tabulation is complete. Without unofficial ranked choice tabulations, candidates may not have a clear sense of the likely outcome, potentially delaying the often complex process of transitioning in or out of Congress, for instance. This concern is heightened for the governorship, as the governor of Alaska's term begins just 4 weeks after the general election. If first preference votes do not provide clarity on the outcome of the governor's race, delayed tabulation can potentially cut the gubernatorial transition period in half, and this bill would mitigate that concern. There are some minor revisions that could be made to this bill to eliminate some ambiguities and ensure that the data released by the division is usable by the public without proprietary software. I'm happy to discuss that if there's interest. Moreover, in addition to releasing the data necessary for observers to conduct the tabulation, the division could themselves conduct the tabulation and release it as part of the unofficial results. Although they've previously released round-by-round results after the absentee ballot deadline, best practice would be to release them earlier to allow Alaskans to better understand how winning coalitions come to be formed. The division can also make the ranking procedure more transparent and understandable by including bids indicating how ballots are reallocated through the rounds, as do some other jurisdictions in the country. Voters need transparency, candidates need time to transition into office, and election administrators need clear guidelines from the legislature. Discussing these issues here is an important step towards building a stronger electoral process in Alaska that the public can trust and more easily understand. Thank you again for inviting me to speak on this issue, and I'd be pleased to take any questions committee members may have.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Adler. We're going to have Lauren Lehman online next, and then we're going to open up for questions. Lauren Lehman, the former lieutenant governor, are you online?
I am.
Please introduce yourself and give us your presentation, please.
Okay great. Chairman Shaw and other members of the committee, I know just about all of you on the committee and some of you very well, and thank you for allowing me to testify today. I'm an Alaska voter for the last, I counted it up, 51 years, and former legislator and lieutenant governor. And when I served as lieutenant governor, the Division of Elections was under my authority. An interesting fact during that time is I presided over an election where we had a tied result in a legislative race and had to break that tie And it's interesting that the winner of that tiebreaker is still serving in office today. Several weeks ago, actually right close to the start of the session, Representative Gray called me and asked if I would testify in House Bill 225. At the time, I hadn't even heard of it. Interesting enough, he didn't even ask me if I would support or oppose it, at least to my knowledge, to my memory. And I told him I would read the bill and consider it. And I also told him, in the interest of full disclosure, that I have been actively engaged in the citizen-led initiative to repeal ranked choice voting. He said, that's okay. And so I read the bill, and it seemed fairly harmless to me. And, I just heard the testimony of others, and what I just heard seems to be as I read it. I have heard three main criticisms of ranked choice voting. The first is it's too complex and confusing. The second, it takes too long to get results. And the third, it often produces or can produce and often does produce results different results than would have been produced by a regular party primary and a general election. Well, House Bill 225 deals only with the second criticism, with that is the methodology to produce preliminary results much faster. Well, when I looked at it, I wanted to see if the Division of Elections could do this, and I talked with Director Carol Beecher, who I know as a person of great integrity and talent, and she told me, yes, the division could do it, but she also warned that you may not like what you get, because you need to be careful, because particularly in a close election, the results could swing from one candidate to the other. So she said, just be willing to accept that. My advice on this bill, if you really want to make changes to improve voter participation and make voters happier, deal with the first and the third criticisms. That is too complex, too confusing, often produces different results. And to do that, you'd amend this bill to repeal ranked choice voting. If that's done right, this could take the initiative off the ballot and save a lot of time and money. If you don't want to do that, pass it essentially as it is, and it could make a small improvement regarding reporting, but the other two criticisms would still remain. And that completes my testimony.
Thank you, Lauren Lehman. We appreciate that. Open up for questions from committee members to anybody on board. Representative Story.
Thank you, Chair Shaw. Thank you, Rep. Gray. I am wondering if the Division of Elections is online, because I would like to get their thoughts on this bill, because I heard from the from the bill sponsor that this is fine for them to do, and I'd like for them to remind me why we did not release the information earlier before, and I think it was because statutes had a timeline in there, and also I know we have some lot of ballots that take a while to get here, military ballots and from very rural areas, and so it'd be helpful for me to know the division's perspective on this.
Okay, we have Brian Jackson and Carol Beecher with the Division of Elections online. If you'd like to make a presentation, introduce yourself and make a presentation relative to Representative Story's question, if you could, please. Either or, Brian Jackson or Carol Beecher.
This is Carol Beecher. For the record, my name is Carol Beecher. I'm the director of the Division of Elections. Through the chair, Representative Story, thank you for that question. The division previously had made the decision not to release those based on the interpretation of the statute regarding the results, and put together a regulation as a result of that, that the ranking would only occur after the 15th day. And the reason for the time frame is that the division wanted to wait for all of the ballots to be in And we have, during a general election, they can come in up to the 15th day after election, as long as they're postmarked on election day, for the overseas and military ballots. Because of the ranked choice voting requiring that it's not ranked unless nobody gets 50% of the vote, the thought was that we wanted to have all of the results in so that then we know which races needed to be ranked. So that was a large part of the decision making in that regard.
Follow up?
Thank you, Ms. Beecher, for that information. And then based on that information, the timelines do work in this bill from the division's perspective. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Story, yes. Our understanding of the bill is that the sponsors of the bill want to have results provided for all of the different rankings, but it does not require a final ranking by the division. It just requires the division to provide the data so that those who want to run those results are able to do so, and we are able to provide those results.
Follow up. And do you see any cons to doing that? Oh, through the chair to the director.
Through the chair, Representative Story, as noted by former Lieutenant Governor Lehman, I still believe that it could cause confusion to voters because of the way that the ballots are calculated. It's very important for people to understand that, for example, if a person doesn't choose on their ballot to rank anybody in the first place column, then it can look like on the cast vote record as though there was no, that was the one less vote cast for that person. And so it kind of makes the results go up and down while the results are still coming in. So the confusion issue could be an issue, for if people don't understand fully how votes are tallied in the ranked choice.
Thank you.
Any additional questions from committee members? Seeing none. Without any additional questions, thank you, Representative Gray, and to your staff. We'll set this bill aside for a future meeting.
Thank you.
Amendments for HB 306 and 225 are due in my office by close of business on Monday, March 26. Any additional comments about the day? Committee members. Well, seeing no other business, the committee is adjourned at 3:42.